Welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me and everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure that their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent and the use of mobile devices for recording is not per minute. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion in committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they may have for an item of business. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item, stating on the item of business that it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where the council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is less red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again as it has lit up red and you lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed, but by all, it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote. Therefore, if you are attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate you wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all those in the chamber have spoken. Members are reminded that you're personally responsible for any comments that they make at this meeting. Have we any apologies there, please, first?
Yes, Chair, with apologies from Councillors Selena Murphy and Councillor Gilbreth.
Okay, thank you. Have we any delegations of interest?
Sorry, Chair, the audio has gone there. Finally, you might need to mute and unmute.
Start that all over, Ella.
No, you're okay from there. Just the declarations of interest, there weren't any. You're okay now, that's you.
Okay, moving on to number three, I'd like to welcome Owen McGinnis from the Ulster University Economic Policy Centre.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Owen.
Hopefully people can hear me online as well as in the room. So I'll speak maybe for 10 minutes just on the slide. Some of you will have seen me here before presenting. So this is our most recent economic outlook from the Economic Policy Centre with a kind of the usual particular interest for Muir Mornin Down or particular focus on that. So I suppose in general, looking at the outlook for the North more generally, I know this probably changes from week to week. Last week's election results will probably added that thing that uncertainty is rising there. So we're going to see greater level of uncertainty, I suspect, over the next while in terms of the global outlook, with just seeing how things go with the aftermath of the American or the US election. The outlook more generally, though, has been probably above expectations of what we would have expected earlier in the year in terms of the economic growth and in particular employment growth across the North in the first couple of quarters of this year. Probably one thing to highlight there is the inflation rates have continued to, while they continue to make the headlines, they've continued to fall. But it's probably important to note, I think, for households that the price rises that we've seen since 2022 are now pretty much baked in to people's household budgets, in a sense. So in a way, the rises that we saw both in things like the cost of the weekly shop and so on and so forth, or on energy prices, and that are here for, I think, are they're maybe not here permanently, but they're here on a longer term basis than I think was first expected. So even with inflation rates falling, a lot of those prices are fairly much now the new norm. And that's, I think, a very important point in terms of when you're thinking about the cost of living. It's a very different cost of living than what we were looking at 2 years ago. And interest rates, on the other hand, are starting to fall away, but I think that's going to be a slow process over the next year. They've just been cut by 0.25%, and I think that's going to be further small cuts next year. So a bit more uncertainty, I guess, in the situation than even in the last, say, a month ago. I mentioned there employee growth is continuing to increase quite strongly, and it's particularly so in a number of sectors, construction, healthcare being two of the main ones. Manufacturing increased there as well, in some parts of the north, and in other parts, Mid Ulster and so on. In ABC, there's been a bit more pressure on workforce numbers there in manufacturing, but in other parts, including Newry, Mourne and Down, the numbers still to be holding up fairly strongly too. Then the next one, I suppose, in a sign that the post-COVID recovery has slowed, is the vacancy numbers are starting or have begun to slow over the last year, and even more so some of the more recent figures from the HMRC, which show that the vacancy numbers, so that pressure that was on in terms of people trying to get staff, still there, but the vacancy numbers are less than they would have been a year ago at any one point in time. And we see that working through at the local level as well. But the outlook for employment remains fairly strong. And I think the figure I put up there, that if you're looking at an employment rate of 75% of those of working age population in employment, that's unheralded territory for Northern Ireland. Really, we've never been anywhere near that. And that's probably one of the main reasons we're seeing why labour markets are so tight. So in a sense, you're now looking at a situation, if you have around about 20% of people who are economically inactive and, you know, upwards of sort of 75, 76, 77% in employment, you don't have much scope there for the regular number of kind of jobs being filled in terms of, it's one of the reasons why unemployment is at such a low level at around about 2% and expected to stay there. And add into the mix that we're expecting to see an increase over the next 10 years of between 57,000 and nearly 80,000 new jobs coming onto the northern economy. So in a sense, if all things go to plan and go well, you would be looking at close enough to a million people and a million jobs in the local economy, really, by 2033. So that's a place that you wouldn't have expected to see. And you can see the way that graph has gone. And that's even with two very deep recessions, the crash in 2008 and then the COVID recession as well. Locally then, how that works out, employment here, and it's probably the key story really for Newry, Mourne and Down over the last decade or so, has been with that blip in the middle with COVID, has seen very steady employment growth over the last period. And we're expecting locally to see that around about 3 in 4 people being in employment, sort of quite close to next year. So Newry and Mourne Down is actually, its employment rate is going to be higher than the Northern Ireland average. Again, something that we wouldn't have expected to see in the local area here if you went back 10 or 15 years. Vacancies, as I said there a minute ago, they're slowing down across the LGD, across all of the local government districts, no different in Newry, Mourne and Down. Probably an interesting thing there that Newry, Mourne and Down tends to have lower vacancies per head of population than other places. Now, when we did a bit of research for the council looking at economic inactivity there a year, 18 months ago, and one of the things that came out of that is that people tended to stay longer in jobs here locally, so there's less of a churn, and that's one of the reasons why their vacancies are slightly fewer in it. So it's not as if there's not jobs there, but people tend to stay longer in the jobs they're in, and that's a probably an important point. So employment retention is pretty good on the other side in the council. We're, in terms of the forecast for the next 10 years, we're expecting to see either between, say, 4,500 and 6,500 new jobs coming into the local labour market. And it raises probably a key point for us locally is, how are we actually going to fill those jobs? Some of them will be filled by school leavers, some of them by, you know, graduates coming out of college and out of the FE college or out of university. So people coming into the labour market for the first time. But there's going to be a growing need, I think, to increase and develop further the work of the likes of the labour market partnerships to bring more people who are economically inactive closer to and back into the labour market, in that actually just to fill the jobs we have, because our population being the way it is, that's plateauing out in terms of new people coming into the labour market on the population basis. So good growth, but that will cause its own challenge I suspect, over the next decade. And we're seeing, which is a healthy thing, we're seeing that growth across almost every sector, really, over that period. Some of the sectors that we're already strong in the council area, construction, manufacturing, health and social work, will all see strong growth. But there's probably a key one there that is a change again in the labour market here locally. If you look at professional services, that's now become a very strong driver of growth. So in the Newry and Mourne market, information and communication, so ICT jobs are also looking at very strong growth over that. So sort of between 50 and 80 or 90 new jobs in that sector every year. Over the next 10 years. So we're seeing it not only in the traditional sectors, but also in newer sectors to the council area. GVA is going to grow fast as well. So that's, in a sense, it's growing even faster than employment. So this may be a key thing locally for the economy, which would be whether we're going to see a productivity improvement there. For us to kind of grow our gross value added faster than employment, it means that more of that will need to be produced by every job filled or every hour worked. So that's a kind of a key thing, and will depend, I think, a lot on some of the things around city deals and other projects like that coming to fruition. And, you know, the sooner the better, I suspect, for a lot of those jobs. Now, the fact that our productivity performance in the council area hasn't been as strong as maybe the employment growth over the last while means that you can see there where Newry, Mourne and Down is down towards the bottom of the rankings in terms of average wages either for the workplaces or average wages in terms of the residents. And that's that's somewhere where you'd like to see the council area be doing better, really, in that case. Those are 2024 numbers. We've seen growth in, actually, for the first time in probably 3 or 4 years, growth in wages this year of outstripped inflation. So that's a good thing, but we're still, relatively speaking, down towards the bottom of the rankings in that, in terms of the local government districts. So that's somewhere you'd want to see better improvement. So in terms of the kind of key points, and I'll finish off on this, generally, as I say, tight labour markets across the north and a pressing need to address some of the challenges like productivity, wage growth there as well, and the high inactivity rates that we still have. And this brings into play things like improving childcare, shortening waiting lists for people who are maybe inactive for reasons of poor health, changing the flexibility in terms of how we recruit staff, I think, in terms of that element of things. But also, I think that would be true of the council area as much as anything else. Particularly to the council area, there are two very clear challenges. And I suppose the work that's being done now around local economic partnerships in terms of identifying those challenges and then hopefully tackling them, or around, you know, the Dublin Belfast Economic Corridor or the City Deal, there will be in around two things. Improving the productivity performance of local firms, I think, is going to be a key element of that, particularly if we want to see better wages. The fact that we don't see good wages in the council relative to other places is tied to the productivity performance of the firms that are there. And I think that's, you know, something that probably needs to be recognised. We've very good firms in the council in many places, but we probably need to see more of those either through inward investment or indeed through a bigger and better pipeline in terms of entrepreneurship and business births. So I think those are two key challenges. If people are sort of sitting around and thinking, what work could the LEPs do? It might be in those two priority areas that you'd be looking to see how could the council close the gap to averages, either with your neighbouring councils or with the north more generally. And I'll leave it at that point. I'm happy to take any questions people might have.
Thank you very much for that one. Thank you.
Are there any questions there? Many members?
Nope.
Oh, I think that's awesome. No one. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was useful. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay, members, moving on to item number five, which is the mid-year review of the action sheet. Sorry. The number four is the action sheet. Okay, I'll just go through it for a matter of fact. aggressive. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, and page 10. Okay. What a proposal. And take another please as well. Thank you very much. Okay. We're moving on to item number 5, which is the mid-year review of the ART business plan for 2024-25. I'll pass over to Conor, please.
Thanks, Chair. The mid-year assessment of each directorate plan has been undertaken in order to provide an overview of progress between April and September. This exercise is an important part of the Council's statutory obligations to strengthen the way performance is monitored, and the mid-year review is included as an appendix to the report at Appendix 1. So the recommendation is for members to consider and approve the mid-year assessment of the ERT Directorate Business Plan for 24-25, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions, sir, please? No? Could we get a proposer and seconder?
So proposed, Chair.
And seconder there, please.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on to item number 6 is the development, naming, postal numbering and erection of nameplates policy.
Sorry, Chair. Chair, this is the policy has been tabled. Chair, this has been a review of the policy has been undertaken in light of a recent tribunal around the disclosure of information relating to surveys, Chair. But as a result of that, the recommendation was no further action. As a result, we are recommending that the policy remains as is and is presented for approval for the next 3-year period, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Hanna.
Just on that, Jonathan, there, I thought I noticed when I was reading, they're talking about withholding results, whether or not there are no results at all. Is that a new thing, or is it just something that's been recommended?
That has been one of the issues that was investigated as part of the tribunal, and the recommendation was to, for the reasons given, to withhold that information, Chair, on the basis of providing anonymity for people who participate in the consultation process, given the geography of the area and the ability to potentially identify people. So that's the rationale for that, Chair, has been tested.
Can I follow up on that?
Yes, yep.
Just John, I would disagree on that there. I wouldn't think anybody's name is going to be disclosed there on anything like that there. I think the result there should be the result. We're not giving out names and addresses, so who voted what way, I'm sure.
That's true, Chair. Yeah, what's that? Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Go ahead. Oh, sorry. You're proposing, sorry, how you're going to propose something else. All right, you're looking to come back or anything, no?
No.
Just a second, okay. Okay. Of
going to go to vote.
Okay.
Show of hands.
Yeah. Okay, so show of hands for those in favour.
Chair, sorry, Chair, you'd have to do a roll call vote because you've attendees on online as well.
Okay. Okay, we will move. Councillor Hannan, please.
Just for clarity, Councillor Hannan, you want the names published?
No, I don't want the names
published. No, sorry, the microphone.
It's just the result.
Then?
Sorry.
No, it's not that I want names published or anything like that. Why are I just don't understand this. So you're not going to tell the results here, not, but you're just. Whether it's 50-49, that's what I'm on here, so it is. One way, that's what I'm on. You're just going to say it was either for or against. That's what I'm against.
The issue that is detailed in the report the potentially in rural areas where you have a small number, it could become possible to identify people by disclosing the result. And this was tested as part of the tribunal. This was the discussion that was investigated as part of this, and that was a recommendation, Chair, that we continue as is, that it was feasible to do so. So it really is a matter for members.
Jonathan, could I just ask, was the tribunal brought as the result of a complaint, or how did that all happen?
I remember it was in not disclosing information, Chair.
Councillor Allen, please.
Thanks very much, Chair, and Jolly, thanks very much for your reply. I know on a historical part with the Saints, I'm very much in favour of the townlands being included. In relation to some of the points that have been raised previously, whenever, say for example, somebody wants bilingual signs or else they want a sign or whatever, would there be a big return whenever residents on the road are consulted? Would there be many returns? Would you get a full return to the request, or would you probably only get three or four or five residents out of a road, probably 30 or 40 residents in a rural setup, whatever? But I'm asking the point, Mickey, about this. I know, but it's a question I want to ask.
Thank you.
Hold on. I wouldn't have the detail to hand in terms of that, but it's the issue is the ability to identify. That's the challenge.
Okay, if there are no further comments on that, we will commence with the roll call, please.
Okay, Councillor Andrews.
For the recommendation, thank you.
Councillor Clark.
For.
Councillor Fahan.
Yeah, for.
Councillor Galbraith is absent. Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon. Sorry, Councillor Hanlon.
Sorry, for.
Councillor Hanna.
Against.
Councillor Hart.
For.
Councillor Kearns.
For.
Councillor Lee Searchener.
For.
Councillor Lewis.
Yeah, Kearns.
Councillor Murphy is absent. Councillor Quinn.
For.
Councillor Rowan.
For.
Councillor Truesdale.
For.
Okay, so I have 10 for and 2 against. So that is agreed.
Okay, thank you. Okay, moving on to item number 7, which is the Belfast City and Regional Partnership. Amanda, please, we'll take that one.
So this item is seeking approval to be a member of the Belfast Region Place Partnership for the forthcoming financial year. We currently are and have been a membership of the Belfast City Region Place Partnership for a number of years, and it's based around collaboration around the city deals. The detail of the partnership is outlined in the paper. It's focused around investment events, namely UK REEF and MIPIM. It brings benefits of an engagement and advocacy programme, research and media engagement. As I said, it's based around the Belfast Region City Deal, geography and partners, and the cost for the forthcoming year would be £15,000 at a cost to council.
Okay, thank you. Could I get Abba Posier and Hegelander, please, for that?
I'm just looking to come in.
Oh, sorry, your seat number 23. Sorry, I didn't notice. Yes.
He didn't recognise seat number 23.
Your name's on the water.
No, very, very briefly, just based on the presentation that we received from Ulster, they're very happy to propose this. I think the boost and supplement the impact of the City Deal and Dublin Belfast Economic Corridor should be welcome. So, as I said, very happy to propose this out.
Apologies there, Councillor Allen. Thank you. Councillor Hanlon, please.
Yeah, I'm happy to second the proposal. I'm much the same as Councillor Feehan. It's a good thing for the council to be involved in this.
Okay, members. Thank you. Moving on to item number 8. Could I get a proposer and seconder to move him to close, please? Closed by Councillor Hanlon. Seconded by Councillor Hart. Let me just read this. Committee, the following items were agreed. Item number 8, economic development strategy on the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Clark. It was agreed to approve the recommendations as set out within the officer's report. Item number 9, the Go Succeed programme on the proposals of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Hanlon. It was agreed to approve the recommendations as contained within the officer's report. MEC local campaign on the proposal of Councillor Hanna, seconded by Councillor Hanlon. It was agreed to approve the business case and the attached officer's report for the delivery of the MEC local campaign of spring 2025. Item number 11, on the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Andrews, it was agreed to approve the recommendations contained within the officer's report. Item number 12, on the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed that that members note the financial assistance review findings and agree the recommendations in section 2.2 of the officer's report. Okay. Yeah, just members, items number 13 and 14 for noting. If there's any comments, I'll tag them in now. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. And so, listening to the last item, it's the Ballykilner Hut. I know on previous occasions I've raised queries about the hut, and reading tonight's paper, I'm glad that efforts are being made to try to. Sorry, I got mixed up here. It's just more or less supporting the aims and aspirations of for the defence civil organisation to take away the hut and relocate it in the district, but it's to be welcomed, you know, the efforts that have been made to preserve it through other means.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, sorry, we need a proposer and seconder to note.
So seconded.
Thank you very much. Okay. That's tonight's meeting. Thank you, everyone.